Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, we should be thinking about, looking for it, participating in it. So says St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians. And I think we should talk about it, too. That has got to be a part of the drill, right? That is what we do on Call Me Catholic, so it's a good start right here. I am Peggy Normandin, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a hopefully light and lively hour of conversation that accentuates the positive and helps us explore and affirm and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. I get a whole lot of positive sitting across the desk from me. That would be my engineer and chief fact checker, Jimmy G. Hey, Jimmy G.
Hello there, Peggy.
Hey, speaking of light or lack thereof, are you preparing to participate in the eclipse anyway?
You know, I just read a story this morning about a gentleman who, in 1962, was looking up at it, and he did some damage to his eyes.
Oh, he did some damage. I saw that.
I thought, you know, been there, done that.
Maybe not. Well, my son lives in Portland, so he has a really great vantage point. He's not going out to the sort of the wilderness area, the prime viewing spot, but he will be able to see it from Portland. And, you know, they've just completely sold out of those glasses. Because
really?
I think if you protect your eyes with the glasses, then you won't have the damage.
That's right.
Etsy has a way you can make your own glasses. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I get a kick out of everybody's thrill about this eclipse is that, you know, with all the technology we have where you can do sound effects and special effects and Photoshop, mm-hmm. anything to see anything you want, that when it's real, that's what thrills people. And it's the grandeur and the power of God, the awesomeness of God.
The natural special effects.
Yeah.
Natural.
And I love that the world kind of unites for those things. Okay. Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the crystalline Christ Cathedral campus here in Orange County, California. This is the Diocese of Orange, proud collaborators with EWTN on this show. Also, Father Spitzer's show, Father Spitzer's Universe, speaking of the eclipse.
His office is just literally above our heads.
Yes, above our heads, like the moon and the sun.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's the great doctor of faith and mm-hmm. reason, our modern Thomas Aquinas. So, I bet he's all over this eclipse. Hey, I want to tell you guys if listening to Call Me Catholic isn't quite enough, you want to go deeper into the experience, you can go to our Facebook page and click on the link that will take you to a live stream of the show. So you'll be able to have a little inside peek of our studio and our guests and our surroundings. And participate that way. Don't do it if you're driving. Just do it if you're home by a computer. And it's live, so once the show is repeating, you won't be able to see it. But just another dimension to our service that we're offering, a full service to our listeners.
Another dimension.
Another dimension. Okay, now we start our show each week with that kind of litany from St. Paul, encouraging us to seek the good, dwell in the light. And sometimes it's hard. We have weeks that are laden with darkness, disappointment with bad news. Hey, just news can be dark sometimes, but our faith is always, always the antidote to any bad day. We know that. We should know that. And you know who else knows that? The saints. If you study the lives of the saints, it's really frequently the super difficult circumstances in which they lived or with whom they lived that really forged them into saints. It's those difficulties that crafted them, that
That's
God
right.
used to craft them mm-hmm. into saints. So on a bad news day, just think about that. Think about the fact that maybe this is God's way of crafting you into a saint.
Mm.
And you come out on the other side holier, depending on how you handle the bad days. Okay, so today we are calling our show All Saints Today. Not All Saints Day. No, you got to wait a couple of months for that. We're not going to rush that. But we're going to call today our All Saints All Day Long, okay? And boy, do we have a saint in the making for our times to talk about today. Have you heard of Father Augustus Tolton? You should have. He was the first African-American Catholic priest, a former slave whose path to the priesthood was formed during the Civil War. Unlikely circumstances. His cause for sainthood is currently on the dockets and being considered with much promise. And we have in our studio today actor Andre Goodnight, who portrays Father Tolton, blessed servant of God, Father Tolton, in the newest drama from St. Luke Productions. It's called Tolton, From Slave to Priest. It's debuting in November in Chicago. And that very compelling conversation is coming up in just a minute. And then we're going to talk very briefly in our Chatting with Catholics segment with Joe Klinker, founder and president of a little company called Little Saints, Tiny Saints, actually. They design and manufacture these adorable little charms of saints, very popular with children who can hook them onto their backpacks or keychains. They're very, very cute, and they're gaining popularity. And if you can think of a saint, it's probably in their collection. How Joe and his wife conceived of this novel company is a very sweet story. So that's later in the hour. But first up, it's our Call Me Catholic countdown. And this week, since we are all saints all day, our countdown is the top five random patron saints you can't possibly live without once you know about them. So I kind of like to circle back around to our communion of saints frequently on Call Me Catholic because I think they're a very underutilized resource for modern Catholics. They are our ancestors, just like our relatives, our familial relatives are. They are ancestors in the faith and their lives. In addition to being inspirations of heroic virtue, they're great adventure stories. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Great stories. And like the apps on our phone, there's always a saint for every obstacle or challenge we face in life. So to illustrate that point, in our Call Me Catholic countdown, I offer my top five random patron saints that you will no longer be able to live without. Here we go.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
Okay, number five on the list. Now, these are going to be never-before-heard of saints to most people. Is Saint Expeditus. Now, he is the patron saint against procrastination.
Really?
Have I got your attention? Are you paying attention? Are you with me, Jimmy G?
I'll get to it later.
Over there? Are you looking at your baseball stats?
I'll get to it later.
Truly, Saint Expeditus, I think that's how you pronounce it, was a Roman centurion. And because of his name, it sounds like expeditious. He came to be the patron saint of speedy solutions, navigators, and against procrastination. And who doesn't need a little of that in their life? So you might want to find a holy card with his image on it and tuck it into your student's backpack.
Yes.
Praying against procrastination. Okay. Number four is Saint Gratus of Aosta, who is the patron saint for people who fear insects. That would be me.
Ooh.
I have a deathly aversion to grasshoppers.
You're not too keen on heights either, I've noticed. Anyway, that's a different topic.
I guess I'm coming across as fairly neurotic. No, I really have. I mean, my number one fear is grasshoppers. And my boys knew it growing up, so they couldn't wait to find a grasshopper. Bring it into the house, position it somewhere, would make mom scream. But Saint Gratus of Aosta was a holy bishop of a small town in Italy in the fifth century. And then later, 10 centuries later, in the 15th century, his intercession was sought against a plague of insects successfully. And so he has become the patron saint for people who fear insects. Okay, number three would be Saint Albinus of Angers. He is the patron saint against pirate attacks. They are still happening. You know, those Somalian pirates. The story of Captain Richard Phillips, who probably invoked Saint Albinus when he was captured in that perilous rescue. So don't be so quick to dismiss this as just a random patron saint. He still has relevance in our world today. The reason why he became the patron saint of pirates, or against pirate attacks. Pirates have their own patron saint. I think it's Johnny Depp. But anyway, he was well known for using church funds during his life in the 6th century of France to ransom people who had been captured by pirates.
Oh, wow.
So that has some credence. Okay, number two is Saint Defendens, who is the patron saint for defense against wolf attacks. Okay, so Saint Defendus was a 4th century Roman soldier martyred for the faith. And for some reason, he's invoked for defense against wolf attacks. Maybe that includes big dogs. So if you're ever in fear of being attacked by a feral canine, Saint Defendus is your saint. Okay,
or
number
coyotes.
One. Or coyotes.
In my neighborhood.
I'm sure they qualify as part wolf. Or just, and scary dates for young single girls. They have to deal with wolves too. Okay, number one is Saint Francis of Rome, a woman, mind you, who is the patron saint of automobile drivers. Okay, Saint Francis of Rome was a 14th century wife, mother, and mystic who founded a community of Benedictine oblates. And in 1952, Pope Pius XI named her patron saint of the users of the very newfangled invention called automobiles. This is because there's a legend that when she would travel alone at night, an angel would light the way for her with a lantern and guide her journey. So she kind of had her own angelic GPS, and who wouldn't like a little of that on the road? I saw a bumper sticker the other day, and it said, "Honk if you love Jesus. Text if you want to see Jesus.
Right.
Okay.
Yep, yep.
That's a good message for drivers. Okay, so we had a little fun with our fabulous and heroic communion of saints, but we're about to get serious. In the studio with us today is actor Andre Goodnight, who portrays the first American Catholic priest of African descent, Father Augustus Tolton, in St. Luke Productions' newest drama about this historic man of faith whose cause for canonization is well underway, is somebody you want to get to know. So stay with us for that fascinating conversation coming up next. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page. It's pretty fascinating, too. Come on board and join our family at facebook.com/callmecatholic. I am Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So stay with us.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, hello, everybody. I am Peggy Normandin, and you tuned in to Call Me Catholic on a great day because you are going to learn about a new near saint in our American history. Augustus Tolton was born a slave in 1854 on a farm in Missouri. The Civil War was rumbling on the horizon. It was a tumultuous time in our country. And no one would have foreseen this courageous young African-American boy's path to the Catholic priesthood. But he went there, and he followed it faithfully, and it's an amazing and heroic story. And here to tell us more about Father Augustus Tolton's story is actor Andre Goodnight. Andre portrays Father Tolton in the newest drama from St. Luke Productions. The show is called Tolton, From Slave to Priest, and it premieres this November in Chicago. Andre Goodnight, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you, Peggy, for having me.
Hey, I want to throw out to our listeners, too, that you may have some questions and comments that you'd like to share with us about this really, really rich subject. And the number to do that with is 714-282-6034. You might want to write that down, 714-282-6034. We'll welcome you into the conversation. So actor Andre Goodnight is with us. And the first question I have got to ask you is, tell me about your last name.
Sure.
Good night, not good morning, not good day, good night.
Well, it's a stage name that I use. And actually in high school, I had a friend of mine, his name was Nolan Goodnight. And I always loved his name. And so I always said to myself that if I had the opportunity to take a stage name, I would take his last name. And interestingly enough, Nolan lives in San Francisco. So I had an opportunity to visit with him last year. And so it was really a reunion of sorts. But it was so funny because I was with a photographer and it was really kind of the first time I had used the last name. And she had said, that sounds like a movie star's name. I said, yes.
Bingo. Boom. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Well, you are a movie star. I mean, you look like a movie star. You certainly sound like a movie star, as our listeners can pick up on. But you are involved right now in a historic storytelling piece of theater. It's about Father Augustus Tolton. And he was born a slave and became a Catholic priest, and it was a very long, rocky journey from one to the other. What can you tell our listeners about Father Augustus Tolton? I mean, tell us a little bit about how his story evolved.
Well, I can tell you about my introduction to Father Augustus Tolton. It actually happened on this campus. My wife and I, we were attending Mass one Sunday morning, and I actually they had the opportunity to get the little newsletter that they put out here.
Uh-huh.
And I was flipping through it, and I saw a picture for the Christ Cathedral drama series put on by St. Luke Productions.
Right.
I was unfamiliar with St. Luke at the time, so I took it home, and I popped on the internet. Thank you, Google. And I looked them up and learned a little bit more about the company and saw a headline that said, would you like to audition? I said, okay. So I went to their page and boom, right there was a picture of Father Augustus Tolton.
Oh, really? So they had not cast it when they already knew they wanted to do it.
Yes. Yes. And so there was a picture of Father Augustus Tolton. If you see the photo that I'm referencing, it's the one looks like a young man. Look, because he's fresh out of seminary and those eyes are staring at you. It's like 75% determination, like 25% fear. And they're just staring at you.
Yeah.
Right. And so I saw those eyes and perhaps more, specifically those eyes saw me. Because I logged off the webpage and had something else to do, and the eyes kept following me. I kept seeing those eyes. I think there was something about those eyes. So I went back to the website maybe a couple of days later and started earnestly reading about the audition, saying, maybe this is something that I can do. Mm-hmm. And the more I took on, or the more that I began to accept the responsibility of just auditioning, the more I became at peace, because those eyes were troubling me. Like, there's something here I need to explore. So that was really my first introduction with Father Augustus Tolton.
Well, he was born a slave in Missouri, on a farm in Missouri.
Yes.
And what I found interesting about his story is that it had Catholic roots. So his mother and his father, before they were married, were both slaves to Catholic families. And when they got married, they wanted them to be married Catholic, and they were able to live together and raise, have their three children. But the father took off because he wanted to, the war was brewing and he wanted to join the Union Army. And the mother escaped with her children. And it was a very perilous escape.
Yes, yes. And it's really quite dramatic when you think about it, because, of course, to be a runaway slave, it carried serious, serious repercussions if you were caught. And so when she took her young children, and there were three of them at the time, mm-hmm. and she took with her, and, all of them, at least under the age of 11, traveling by night, living off what you can find in the fields. Mm-hmm. It was really, really, really an act of
faith. Never knowing whether you're encountering an enemy or an ally.
But to be so goal-oriented, mm-hmm. that this is the goal, give me liberty or give me death, really kind of pulsing in your veins, and really depending and trusting on God to lead you from one step to the next.
And it had to have been God's hand that got her through that journey across the Missouri River to settling in Quincy. And, at that point, the family started to have somewhat of a normal life. But what's so fascinating to me is that there was still this Catholic presence. And this was a mission country. We were not a Catholic country. So anyway, they were kind of she was seeking out Catholic parishes to raise her children in. But there were obstacles all along. I mean, they were not being welcomed even into the Catholic parishes.
Unfortunately, and that's one of the realities of the history of our nation, where you had this reality that was called ethnic churches. So whether you were German, Pole, Lithuanian, Italian, French, there were certain churches, ethnic churches that were established that you went to. So if you were German, you didn't go to the French Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. You didn't go to the Italian Catholic Church. And there are stories, and so, of individuals who, I was talking with one gentleman the other day. His ancestors were Italian, and they were talking about how, as Italians, they were trying to go to the nearest church, which was a block away, and was told, no, this is the French church. You go to the Italian church.
You find your identity
somewhere
else.
Which is 2 miles someplace else. So you can imagine that also being true for African Americans. Mm-hmm. And so not having as many, or if any, black parishes, they were forced to go to these other churches, these other parishes, and then being barred, or at least being told, sit in the back.
Yeah.
So yes, it was a very interesting time.
And she wanted Augustus, her son, to have an education. She must have seen in him the promise of a future that was really going to change the world.
Well, very early on, he gets the sense that God is calling him to the priesthood, but of course, being black, and of course, the realities in which he came out of, it just seemed like this overwhelming, obstacle that he had to one after the other in order to, if he was going to be able to submit that at all. And so really that became the impetus and the catalyst for him to become educated, because of course to become a priest, there would be a certain amount of education he would have to receive prior to entering into the seminary. Mm-hmm. So he knew early on, 7, 8, that God was calling him to something. And in the ministry, in the priesthood, was the direction his life was headed. Mm-hmm. So there was some very courageous priests, white priests, mind you, who went outside of, because again, educating young black boys at that time was, pretty much,
it's hazardous.
Exactly. and not just hazardous it was hazardous on both sides. It was hazardous for the white priests. It was hazardous for the black boy. It was hazardous for their families, just all the way around. And so just to think about those realities and people facing them through faith.
Yeah.
That's really the beauty of the story.
Well, we're speaking with Andre Goodnight, the actor who will be portraying right now Father Augustus Tolton, the first African-American priest whose cause for canonization is well underway. He is a servant of God right now. And his story is so utterly compelling. So, Andre, what's interesting is that he'd enter the school and the school would sort of, he'd be mistreated, you know, even Catholic schools, and the nuns, the priests couldn't do anything to shield him from the bullying and the just sort of being rejected utterly. And the obstacle that he faced, and yet he still wanted to continue on this path to the priesthood. And it was that Irish priest who made all the difference.
Father Peter McGurr, yes.
Yeah, Father Peter McGurr, who kept paving the way, finding a new place for him to be welcomed. And even he tried to join the Franciscans, and the Franciscans said no.
Exactly. Just like all the seminaries in the nation at the time said no, which is why he was eventually educated in Rome, because none of the American seminaries would take the phrase, of course, was we weren't ready. We're not ready. We're not ready. And it echoes, of course, if you fast forward to the 1960s, of course, the letter to Dr. Martin Luther King in the Birmingham jail, you know, of why are you pushing for this nonviolent civil rights movement? You know, give it time. Wait, you know, and that seems to be the operative term. However, when we talk about Father Gus's life, I keep returning back to that call. And that call of God, where even though, yes, there were obstacles, those obstacles, as you were talking about at the beginning of the show, they were making him stronger and they were making him more resolved to continue in the path that God had called him to. And so it was a beautiful story to see that, yes, he was rejected in the schools in which he went to. And Father Peter McGurr took him aside personally and educated him.
Yes, indeed.
So by the time he went off to seminary, you know, he spoke German, he spoke Italian, he spoke English, he had knowledge of Latin. And that was, again, all the prerequisites in order to enter in. And so he was very, very, very educated. But it goes to show, again, how these individuals were sacrificing to make this happen in a time frame where, again, this is the thing we have to bear in mind. Nothing like this had ever happened or even been conceived.
And it's just so amazing to me that when God wants you to do something, he still puts all these obstacles in the way to kind of test your mettle a little bit. So Father Augustus Tolton went off to seminary. And what's interesting is he was saved now for the very best seminary there. And he went to Rome, the heart of the Catholic Church. And he went to a seminary that dealt with that groomed priests for mission countries. And he was thinking he might end up in Africa or someplace.
Exactly. Matter of fact, in some ways, he was hoping he would go to Africa.
Yeah.
And really, it was a priest there who had said, you know, America calls itself the so-called enlightened nation. Mm-hmm. We're going to send them back.
Because it is a mission country. It's not church yet.
Which is so interesting because we have a way in which we see ourselves and then, of course, others see us from a different light. And America at the time, the land of the free, home of the brave, and yet all this internal strife, you know, slave states, free states, you know, civil war. It's what that was all about.
Yeah.
And from the outside, you had the rest of the world looking in and they're saying, wow, you know, how is the Catholic Church flourishing in the United States?
Yeah.
And that, again, was the idea behind the statement of, well, let's send them back. And not only are we going to send them back, if America doesn't send us more black priests within a certain time frame, then this will be an indictment that they are not who they say they are. So the gauntlet was thrown down and the challenge was put out there that let's move the ball forward, right? And so that really also was a very beautiful moment in his life where, yes, he had this idea and his thought of, okay, I'm going to go to Africa and be a missionary and serve God. And God said, no, I'm going to put you right back where you were.
You're going back home.
Where you were.
Yeah.
And it started a whole new episode in his life.
Well, it was quite a long journey from Rome back to New York. But I love the illustration or the story of how when he got to New York, he wanted to say his first mass in America, first African-American priest in America, in New York City. And it was like standing room only. They had heard of him. They came. It was at St. Benedictine of the Moors or something like that, the church, because it was an African-American, they called it then Negro or people of color church.
Sure.
And he wanted to be there. And his reputation preceded him at this point. So he was just completely welcomed. And people were fascinated to see this black man on the altar offering mass. Can you imagine how breathtaking that was for people?
Indeed. And even for him, as you would imagine, knowing his story, knowing where he came from, to kind of, again, go from Brush Creek, Missouri, which is where he was born, Quincy, Chicago, and then Quincy, Illinois, pardon me, Chicago comes later, off to Rome, and then now back to New York via Quincy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And his journey was just beginning. Hey, actor Andre Goodnight is going to stay with us through the break so we can continue to learn more about this remarkable, historic servant of God that he is portraying in the newest St. Luke Productions one-man drama, Tolton, From Slave to Priest, the story of the first African-American Catholic priest. Remarkable. If you'd like to join the conversation, you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Jump right into the dialogue. The number is 714-282-6034. The number again is 714-282-6034. We are talking about a servant of God who's going to become a saint, who is a saint for our times and for our country. So learn about him. Tell your kids about him, tell your friends and neighbors about him, and devour the information and the history of this remarkable saint. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hello, greetings. So great to have you with us, friends. I am Peggy Normandin, and today on Call Me Catholic, we're learning about yet another one of our awesome Catholic saints. Well, this particular holy man is as yet a servant of God, but his cause for canonization is well underway, and it shouldn't be long before we're affirming Father Augustus Tolton as a member of our Communion of Saints. Father Tolton was the first Catholic priest in America who was of African descent. He was ordained a priest in Rome at St. Peter's in 1886, making history as a slave who withstood incredible oppression and prejudice by the country and the church. And mind you, he was the first, he withstood all that to become the first African American Catholic priest. His story is told in the newest St. Luke Productions drama, Tolton from Slave to Priest, premiering in Chicago in, November. Actor Andre Goodnight, who is with us today, portrays Father Augustus Tolton in this one-man play, and he has been providing us some incredible insights about this servant of God. You know, we got some calls, Andre, and they just wanted to ask some questions. They didn't want to get on the air. And one of them, one of our listeners asks, what took so long to hear about this saint? Why didn't we hear about him before?
It's a great question. It's a really great question. And there's a couple of ways I think I could respond to that. One is that he is well known in certain communities, particularly in Chicago, Chicago area, Chicago, Archdiocese of Chicago. He's a rock star. And there, as a matter of fact, I've met young men in seminary even to this day that in tears will talk about Father Tolton and how much of an influence his ministry and life has been upon even their formation in the ministry. However, in light or in lieu of the question being asked, I think there's a sense in which nationally he is not well known. And so, yes, in that sense, I think that God has his timing, right?
Yeah.
And we may say this now. And God says, hold on. You know, as the saying goes, you know, the wheels of God move exceedingly slow, but exceedingly fine.
Yeah.
And that when the time is right, boom. And I think this is the right time.
So tell me, what was the biggest challenge? What has been the biggest challenge for you in portraying this complex man, in a one man drama that you're in?
Yeah, you know, I think that when you look at his life as a whole, we have a tendency to be tied to success. You know, we want our lives to be successful. I did this, I did that. And we can look back on this litany of events or times or places or people we've known. And we can say, I did this or I got this degree, so forth, so on. And when you look at Father Augustus Tolton's life, you don't see a lot of success.
No.
Matter of fact, when he died, he was starting the first black parish in Chicago, St. Monica's, and the church was unfinished.
Yeah.
And he had spent a good 5 to 10 years of his life basically asking for funds to help build this parish because they were meeting in a storefront.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, they were meeting in a basement. So when you look at his life, you don't see a lot of things that he left behind as signs of success. However, it's so interesting because, and this is the thing that has been a great challenge to me, is that we look at our lives from the moment we're born to the moment we die. But here's Augustus Tolton, who died 1897, and here we are 2017 talking about his
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
So our lives
with great relevance.
Exactly. So our lives move beyond
mm-hmm.
our deaths. Right. And that's why we talk about the saints are still living, because his life is still going on.
Yeah.
And so just thinking about his life in terms of not success, but of obedience and faithfulness, mm-hmm. that has been the term, because it's like, why am I playing a guy who in essence failed at so many things?
Mm-hmm.
But he persevered, he was persistent, but his faith was what undergirded him to keep going. And that ultimately our lives should not be evaluated in our own sense of success, but God's.
Well, and the measurement of success. We can't measure our success as saints. it was interesting to me, the peaks and valleys. You know, he'd be received really well. So when he came back to Quincy, he was very well received. The parish was very excited to get him. But then he was kind of driven out. Then it was like, no, this is enough. That was a novelty for a while, but really we can't, we do not want an African-American priest.
Yeah, and really it's one of those situations again where you saw that unfortunately the ugly head of prejudice and racism began to really crowd out. You know, at the time there was a law that whites could not attend his church, but they came anyway. And so it was, again, it goes to show that, you know, the love of God and the faith in God overrules just stupidity.
Yeah.
And so whites would come anyway, but they were coming to such a degree that some of the other priests in the area were getting jealous. And so it started just this infighting, so to speak. And Father Gustav Tolton, he tried to rise above it, where not only was he ministering to these white souls, but he was ministering to Protestants, white or black. It didn't matter, right? Because again, he saw the universal church.
So Jesus and everybody.
And so really it was one of these things where he wanted to stay, but he knew that unfortunately the longer he stayed, the more fighting was going to happen. So he left very quietly on a train at night for Chicago.
And he went into a very, very poor parish.
Yes, he did. And again, it was a similar thing. Bishop Freeman, Freehand, who was the bishop at the time, same thing. They were looking for a black pastor because they were starting an ethnic church, a black church, and there were about 200 or so Catholics, black Catholics, who did not have, they were looking, they were asking, they wanted Father Augustus told us. So interesting that, that there was a sense in which he was not wanted in Quincy, but he was welcomed in Chicago.
And Chicago is now, advancing his cause.
Yes,
for
indeed. Father
That's
Bishop, Bishop Joseph Perry is auxiliary bishop of Chicago who's, behind this effort.
You know, I would like to share with our listeners a clip from your drama that might give them a little bit of the flavor of how this is going to play out on the stage. So, Jimmy G, can you cue that up for us?
We can't accept this colored priest.
But the Catholic Church deplores double slavery, that of the mind and that of the body. She endeavors to free us of both.
You ain't nothing but a troublemaker.
I was a poor slave boy, but the priests of the church did not disdain me. It was through the influence of one of them that I became what I am tonight.
As a colored priest, you are expected only to minister to the Negro and not to us.
Oh Lord, give me the opportunity to bring them all forgiveness and grace.
You are nothing and will never amount to nothing.
It was the church who taught me to pray and forgive my persecutors.
We want no Toltons in this place.
I shall work at it and pull at it as long as God gives me life.
Get out of Quincy. Go elsewhere. Get.
May I never give up.
That is powerful, powerful stuff. You know, the dignity of this man is very, very compelling. Hey, Andre, we have a caller from Augusta, Georgia, John Paul. Welcome to Call Me Catholic, John Paul.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're good. We're good. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, ma'am. I just first wanted to say, what a beautiful example of the universal church. I was basically kind of curious what his Catholic upbringing was like, or was there a point of conversion for him? He kind of reminded me of an Archbishop Nicholas Steno, who actually was a scientist and probably not very well known. And I was just kind of curious of his upbringing and that sort of thing.
Well, it was remarkably Catholic, considering the day and time, John Paul, which I thought was very interesting. Would you say that he had a moment of conversion, Andre?
I would say he was raised. So he definitely was cradle Catholic, and that he was exposed to the faith very, very early. And, of course, that happened through his mother. She was a very, very instrumental point. As already mentioned, his father had left for the Civil War and eventually died, not on battle, but in the sickbed later on. And so his mother was one of the chief teachers of the faith for him. It's a very interesting story that when later on, fast forward, when he was ordained and he was saying mass at the church, it was a common practice at the time that whenever a newly ordained priest was first saying mass, that you would go and ask for a blessing. So as Peggy was talking about, this church in New York was filled, standing room only, because all these African Americans were coming from all over the nation to see this first black priest. And so they stood in line after mass to ask for his blessing, and they were waiting, and he stopped And he went over to his mother and blessed her first. Because he recognized that his faith and his life, from slavery physically, if you would, even spiritually, understanding the knowledge and the grace of God, all of that, his mother was so pivotal in that endeavor. Even so that when he later went to Chicago, and of course he died in that ministry, his mother was there by his side. They called her the mother of the church. And so you can see in a very real sense how from very early age as a young boy, even to an adult man as a priest, how his mother was playing such a pivotal role in the formation of his faith.
Wow. So it was the mother and she carried in him in her arms the whole time, spiritually and originally, you know, across the Missouri. So thanks for your call, John Paul. We appreciate it. Hey, you know, Andre, we can't talk about this historic servant of God, Father Augustus Tolton, without putting him in the light of today's strife in our country. What can we learn from his example? What would he say about the circumstances, the racial tension that we're experiencing in America right now?
You know, it's so interesting because we experience, particularly in our own day, and we have these little outbursts of racial tension. And once they happen, typically you have a segment of the community that is taken back. Where is this coming from? Why is this? And there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of sense of, oh, how can this happen? This is 2017. We should be beyond this. Where is this coming from? However, there is always this sense in which there are certain sins, and we can speak of these on a familiar level in regards to in our own families, in our own lives, even nationally. There are certain sins that we will encounter because of how they were part of how our nation was founded. And people who know are
sins of the father. Almost.
Exactly. Yeah. People who are aware of how our nation was founded know that race and the concept of race was something that was introduced very early, even in the Constitution. There that language has since then been struck. But there was a sense in which anyone of color, particularly African American, were chattel. They were property. They were 2/3 human. Mm-hmm. And so that was written into the United States Constitution. So the document that was governing how our nation was formed, the idea of race and the sense in which black people were not human was part of our nation's history. And so this has been something that has been a part of our experience as Americans. So Father Augustus Tolton, of course, he was born during the time of the Civil War, which is where this racial tension came to a head. Will the nation be half slave, half free? No, it'll be one or the other. And so we see now even today that there are remnants and there are echoes of this same sentiment in which race is something that is a reality that we are exposed to. And so I think Father Augustus Tolton will acknowledge the reality of it, that there's not a sense in which we have to shrug it under the rug. There's not a sense in which we got to hush it up. But no, there's a reality that's in front of us that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed in grace and in love. And I think that is how he would address it. As mentioned, Father Augustus Tolton did not just minister to black Catholics. He ministered to white Catholics. He ministered to white and black Protestants. And so the idea was, I am called by the grace of God to live out the grace and love of God. And it doesn't matter what you look like, what church you attend, male or female. You know, there was another story where there was a young couple, white couple, who wanted to get married, and their priest, for whatever reason, didn't want to marry them. And Father Augustus Tolton married them.
Yeah. Much to the chagrin of her parents.
Yes,
the
indeed.
Bride's parents.
Yes, indeed. You can imagine. But the fact that he took this on, and this is the last thing I would say. So not only is there a recognition of what's in front of you, there's not only the desire to be, have mercy and grace, but there's courage, mm-hmm. right? To do what may not be the easy thing, but the right thing.
Well, and I would add another word to that, Andre. I would add dignity, because I think dignity is one of the most powerful and persuasive tools that human beings have. And it is most prominent when you see it in the face of indignity. And, you know, there was another story that was very popular within this last year in Hidden Figures. And those three African-American women who worked for NASA, they were brilliant. They were well-spoken. They had grace. They faced so much injustice, and they fought it with dignity. And, you know, you don't always see the results right away, but it certainly is a model for the ages.
Yes, I think that when we identify our common humanity as given by God as being created in his image, mm-hmm. I think that we can address each other as such. And yet we are flawed. All of us are flawed. Yeah. And I think that we can just as our Lord instructs us, you know, before you seek to remove the little
speck in your own eye,
take it out, you know, so that even when it comes to issues of race, we don't have to have a heavy hand. It's not, I'm better than you because I'm not racist. I have one black friend. You know, it's not one of those issues, right?
Yeah, right.
But we can treat each other in a manner in which we want to be treated because, yes, there is certain ignorance, but you don't know where that ignorance is springing from. You know, I grew up in the South and I've heard stories of my great great grandfather fought in the Civil War on the Confederate side. And so there was a certain view about people of color that was passed down generation to generation. So when someone starts voicing these things and you're listening to it and you're like, okay, is that coming from you? No, it's coming from what they've been taught.
It's a narrative that they grew up with.
Exactly.
They don't know differently. Yeah. Well, Father Augustus Tolton is a man for our times. Learn more about him. Read his story. It has so many. We've just begun to scratch the surface on the fascinating nuances of his story. And it is heroic, and it is courageous, and it is inspirational for modern living. Tell us where and how our listeners can learn more about this production and maybe hopefully book it in their own town.
Sure. So if you would like to learn more or have the play come to your area, then it's just simply a matter of going to St. Luke's website, St. Luke Productions. StLukeProductions.com is where you can go, and they'll give you all the information about the play and how you can learn more about bringing it to your diocese. It would be our desire to bring it to as many dioceses all across the nation. The play will open in Chicago, African American DeSabe Museum, in November. And we're hoping from there to basically take the message of Tolton all across the nation.
Well, and I also want to comment on the fact that you have quite a stellar history and resume of acting, Shakespearean acting. So you're bringing a remarkable talent to the stage with this production. And I think your background as a very strong practicing Catholic, your background as an African-American, and your training as a skilled talent is going to be the perfect confluence of drama for
this
thing. So thank you for all you've done and for bringing this story to the stage. We really appreciate it. God bless you. And look up, we'll put the website on our, how you can find out more about the production and all. And I want to close with just a little prayer that is about Father Augustus Tolton. And it goes, Father in heaven, Father Tolton's suffering service sheds light upon our sorrows. We see them through the prism of your son's passion and death. If it be your will, O God, grant your servant, Father Tolton, by the favor that I now request through this intercession. And we mention our intercession here so that all may know the goodness of this priest whose memory looms large in the church he loved. You might also go to toltoncanonization.org to learn more about this priest, his cause for canonization. Okay, you know, we have lots of great programming coming up for you on EWTN. And one of my favorite shows on the weekend is Register Radio, which comes on at 7 p.m. It's a current event news show hosted by the editors of the National Catholic Register, which is the definitive, most trusted news source for Catholics today. And we're proud to say that it's part of the EWTN National Catholic Register family. So it's one of us. So go online. It's an online news feed that gives you a comprehensive view of the world from a distinctly Catholic perspective. It covers the very latest issues, people, and events shaping the world as we know it. So make sure you access it regularly to stay up on current events. That's ncregister.com. Jeanette DeMillo and Matthew Bunsen are the editors, and they're on the radio show, but they're also the print editors. Okay, so I hope that today's interview with Andre Goodnight about the remarkable servant of God, Father Augustus Tolton, has inspired you to dig deep into our communion of saints. They are an inexhaustible well of inspiration and education about our faith. And now I want you to meet a man who's built a unique company around the personalities of our good Catholic saints. Joe Klinker is the founder and president of Tiny Saints, an accessory company that features the faces of the saints in a wide collection of charms and collectibles. Joe Klinker, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Peggy, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, tell us how you got a start in this very unique little accessory company. I call it little because it's called Tiny Saints. It's actually a very big, successful company.
Yeah, but little is still good. So we started in 2011. I was actually active duty Coast Guard at the time with my wife and two little ones. And we had a child who was stillborn. Her name was Melody. And, you know, obviously the family, we took an emotional hit. And our two little children had a lot of questions about where their little sister had gone and more specifically who she was with. And so it was a bit of a gut check to, you know, what we really believe and to say, all right, you know, honey, what's the answer here? And so It seems obvious, but in terms of communicating effectively to little ones, it's not that obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So we went online and started Googling images of the saints, and you can imagine how that went, because when you look at a lot of pictures of the saints, like Saint Sebastian, you know, with arrows up against the tree.
They're a little scary sometimes.
Yeah, a little intimidating, or really just not something that appeals to kids, especially when you're looking at the older art. And so I had a bit of a background in a little bit of graphic design, so we started playing around and made some two little designs for my kids, and those were the first two sign saints. It was St. Kateri and St. George, and we thought, wow, those would make great little keychains,
mm-hmm.
and the rest is history.
Well, are you an illustrator, Joe?
Technically, I guess I am now, but no, I'm not. I'm a public relations is really what I do. It's what I did in the Coast Guard. It's what I have my studies in and everything else. So this was more of about, you know, I have found that tiny saints are effective at communication, right? Which is what public relations is all about. It's how do you communicate something effectively and well.
Well, yeah. It's another way of kind of branding yourself as a Catholic. So they're conversation pieces. They're very, very cute. They really feature, most of them just feature the face of the saint, right?
Right. So the goal was to kind of strip everything down and say, what's the essential parts of communicating this story? Or the funny thing about the saints is they all have their own little brand, right?
Sure.
If I tell you to picture a priest in a brown habit with animals next to him, you already know who I'm talking
about. St. Francis.
So, St. Francis of Assisi. So so that was kind of fun. It was essentially like creating a small logo of all of them. And for that, you know, that happens to be something that I just thought artistically and from a business perspective appeals to people now. You know, you can picture Hello Kitty or...
They are kind of that same sort of whimsical style.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, it's a style called kawaii. Yeah.
Okay.
Style.
And how many saints do you have on your collection?
So right now we have 110.
Wow.
And over the next 12 months, we're adding 90 more, and we're going to call it at 200. But we're pretty well into that. And so I've taken all kinds of recommendations. In fact, I was excited to hear your interview today because Father Tolton is added to the list.
Oh, do you already have a tiny saint of Father Tolton?
He's not released, but the charm, yes, the design is done.
Oh, that's excellent. That's outstanding.
Yeah
so you, now when people order these charms, and I want, how big are they? Let's try to give our listeners as much of a visual reference for this as we can.
Go off of the size of a penny. So the 19 millimeters is the standard size, and with hats and stuff, it sometimes is a little bit bigger, but 19 millimeters, which is the size of a penny.
Yeah, so you can hang them on your backpacks or hang them on your keychain. Now, when you get your saint, does it come with a little story about the saint?
It does, right.
Okay,
so,
perfect.
Again, yeah, but about communicating their story and telling their story. So every time you buy one, it comes in packaging, you flip it over, and there's a little bio that's quick and to the point.
Well, who would be a good patron saint for young students going off?
All right. So the big one right now is St. Thomas Aquinas, patron saint of students.
Right.
But, you know, check out our website right now on tinysaints.com. We have a list of some great patron saints for the start of the school year. And we have a sale going on, too. But the neat thing is, you know, there's a patron saint for bus drivers, a patron saint for teachers and principals, and, you know, even folks who work in the cafeteria. So
there's a patron saint for test takers. He's not coming to mind right now, but I know he was, there's a patron saint for test takers when you're taking a test.
Well, you stumped me. That's cool.
Yeah, I should know this because I was just reading about him. He was not, he was a priest who was trying to pass his seminary and test, and he was not a very bright man by his own admission. And so he only studied one passage of scripture, and he said to God, "You better make sure that what they test me on is on this one passage of scripture, because this I know, but I don't know anything else." And
Is it Joseph of Cupertino?
Yes, that is it. It's Joseph of Cupertino. Bravo,
yeah,
bravo. Yeah.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. That's the power of Google.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. There you got it.
How about the crossing guard?
Oh, yeah. Do you have a patron saint of crossing guards? We got to cover everybody.
Yep. Crossing guard is St. Christopher, which is really perfect for
that is perfect.
You know the story. Yeah. I mean, he was essentially a crossing guard.
He carried Jesus across through the waters, right?
Perfect.
That's right.
Yeah. That's great. Okay. Give us the name of your website again, Joe.
Yep, easy, tinysaints.com.
Tinysaints.com. So they're affordable, they're adorable, they're another mechanism to teach the faith, teach our kids and teach your friends about the great communion of saints. It's like I say, we, you know, the expression, there's an app for that. Well, I always say, there's a saint for that. You got an issue,
yeah,
there's a saint for that. Well, thank you very much, Joe. Really enjoyed talking with you and wish you continued good luck with your great company, tinysaints.com.
Thank you, Peggy.
And we're going to look for that Father Augustus Tolton charm.
As promised.
Okay. God bless you, Joe. Thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hey, so that's fun. We had some interesting information today about the saints.
Yes,
there
also
will not be a test, Jim, but I will ask you after the show's over if, you know, if you got some of those details.
I'll be able to study well, because since I prepare the podcast, I can go over the entire audio and take notes.
Yeah. So. Well, we love St. Luke Productions, and we like to have them on and tell us about their latest production. But I got to tell you, the story of Father Augustus Tolton is by far and away the most compelling saint that I've ever heard dramatized. I think there's a feature film in the future for this.
St. Luke Productions, just, they do amazing work. We've had Leonardo in here a couple times, and they're fabulous.
Yeah, they are quite excellent. You know what else is fabulous? Our Facebook page. Yeah, we have information and pictures and data for you and podcasts. We sometimes list our podcasts there. We can certainly send you to a podcast if you need to get to a previous podcast. So check out our Facebook page and give us a like. Join our family. It's facebook.com/callmecatholic. Very easy to remember, but we love having our family grow. We're getting up to 2,000 now.
Just hit 1,700 last weekend. We're getting close to 2,000.
Wow. Pretty awesome. As I mentioned earlier, there's always great programming coming up on EWTN radio through the rest of the weekend. Our show repeats later on tonight, and coming up right after this show is Barbara McGuigan and 2 hours of The Good Fight. We got the Catholic Cafe after that. And then I always enjoy the NC Register one. So join us again next week, same day, same time, for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I am Peggy Normandin, but you know, you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.